Have your Bibles. I'm going to do a devotion tonight from Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter 20. And so we get through all, or hopefully Murray next week. When we come back on Wednesday nights, even some Sunday nights, we'll get back to Acts. I about forgot where we made it to. I'm thinking about chapter 15. I'll have to go back and look at my notes. But book of Acts is always an exciting book. And we have an account here. I was talking to some people, and they looked sleepy before service. And they said they're sleepy. They're going to try to stay awake. I said, well, we're probably better, because I'm going to preach about a guy that fell asleep and died during church. And I'm not the Apostle Paul, okay? But now Nick made sure we had them things to light you up. I'll be glad to stick that on you and hit the button and say clear, everybody. And I may do it even if I don't think you're dead, okay? If you just fall asleep, we just put them out there and put them on you and wham, and you'll come back. Or I might put you under, I don't know. But either way, we're prepared tonight in the event that you fall asleep. And I won't really do that to you, I promise. But Acts chapter number 20, as you start looking in this chapter, it's an amazing chapter. The Apostle Paul had a ministry that was sent from a local church. We know it was from Antioch. And he ministered to them. God sent him out. And to the ministry which God called him. He had not only just to a ministry to that church, but a very broad ministry to several churches. Now, you'll find that Paul really didn't take big, long breaks. He went from one place, he went to the next, he stayed here, he worked, he went on, left from place to place. He'd stay a while, and he'd work and teach and reaffirm and encourage and just exhort the churches and disciples that were there. And the Bible tells us that, starting at verse number 7, that upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow. Now, here's a man, he knows that he preaches. He's like, man, I've stopped in, I get to preach, and I'm leaving tomorrow. I'm going somewhere, I got some more work to do here. And he was traveling, and you really study this account. The duress his body must have been in. I think sometimes I get tired, but I couldn't imagine what this man was putting himself through to go from place to place. But Paul realizes, listen, I'm passing through. I'm going to lay it to him tonight. I'm going to preach. And he did. And the Bible says that he's ready to depart on tomorrow and continued his speech until midnight. Okay? And the Bible says that, and there were many lights in the upper chamber, and they were gathered together, and there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep, and Paul was long preaching. Okay? I'll tell you what, I've fulfilled that one before, right? And you've endured some long preaching perhaps before. The Bible says he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him, said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again, he had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till the break of day. So he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. Our Father, we thank you for the word of God, and we're thankful that you are able to work in mighty ways. Lord, what this church saw was definitely spectacular in your working. And we know that many times, even as preachers and pastors and those that serve in the ministry, we sometimes we have so much we want to say that maybe we take up too much time. And Father, I know there's a danger. Also a danger of people who are just so short focused that they can't focus on anything, any time at all. They want to jump to something else, and their mind is on the things of this world. God, help us to understand there's a danger having a double look. We need to be focused on you. So I pray tonight that you would help me in this devotion to speak to our hearts and our minds and help us to be Christians that are faithful and are service to you, and thankful, God, to be a part of one of your churches. We know that the Bible says that even he said he purchased a church with his own blood. What a precious payment. What a costly payment. God, that we might have the privilege to be here tonight. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. We see this account. This was a church, I believe, that was stirred. This was definitely a church that was stirred up from what was happening. It was a very devoted church. And you say, how do you know that? Well, the Bible tells us that in verse number 7, and upon the first day of the week, you see, they had an appointed time, an appointed day, and an appointed hour. The Bible says the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. There was this particular time that they gathered to break bread in fellowship one with another. And the Bible says they showed up. Listen, I want to tell you, there's something that tells you right there that the people were devoted. They showed up and were gathered together collectively, and they were very eager in their attendance. The Bible tells us that Paul, he was ready. I mean, he's going to leave tomorrow, and so he continued his speech until midnight. They had to be eager to hear what the Apostle Paul said. And I doubt that he didn't, I really doubt he gave chicken noodle soup for the soul. I say what Paul had to say was something that would challenge everybody here. But not only just challenge, it'd make you think. I would love to have been able to heard Paul preach, wouldn't you? I would love to have heard John the Baptist preach. Couldn't you imagine the fire, somebody like Elijah speaking? That would have been amazing. But and you say, what would have been amazing about the Apostle Paul? I don't believe it would have been his style. I don't believe it would have been his great speaking or being an orator. But the very knowledge that poured from the Apostle Paul is what held people captive. And they stayed to midnight. Now, I don't know all the ins and outs. This young man may have worked all day. He may have been in the fields, and he had good reason for going to sleep. I've seen people work hard. It's hard for me to fuss. Don Hawkins, if I see him nod off, when I see how that man works every day, amen. And if somebody's out hitting it and out serving others and doing all they can, I mean, he's like a traveling evangelist with a mower in this community, right? And just everywhere. He's all the time going somewhere, working and serving. And so I see Don get asleep. I'm not going to fuss. And I don't think Paul probably fussed, but there might be some things I can kind of maybe spiritualize a little bit about Eutychus. And so I want to say to you that the people here in this service, they were eager to attend and to listen to Paul. They just didn't simply get up and leave. Now, I heard a story about a man one day jumped up, preacher preached about an hour. He got up, and when the usher said, "You can't leave, it's right in the middle of the preaching." He said, "I got to go get a haircut." He said, "Man, you should have done that before service." And he looked at him, he said, "I did." Amen. I've felt that way before. I've known, and I don't know what it is, if it's ADD or what, but sometimes I get bored with my own preaching, and I know it's time to sit down. And so, let me just tell you, sometimes people don't want to show up to church unless there's three reasons. Number one, there's a feast, they'll show up to church. There's a funeral, they'll show up to church. If there's a good fight, they'll show up to church. I remember going to the ABA meeting, man, they had some throwdowns. I went back to my room and told my buddies, "You've got to come down here and see this. I've never seen anything like that." I know that was the wrong motivation, but I was just curious how it's all going to turn out. And I was ready to start taking bets on which preacher would whoop who. It never happened. Never really happened. But people will show up for those things. Amen? But to have people show up just to hear preaching, think about it. There wasn't nothing fancy, no light shows, there wasn't no band, there wasn't no dramas, there wasn't nothing else but preaching. And they showed up and they stayed there. Why? Because the Word of God was supreme. Think about that. The power of the Word of God. Well, we need to honor the Word of God. Amen? I mean, it is something. And this group of people, I believe, had close fellowship. And most of us know Psalm 133. "Behold, and how good and how pleasant it is for what? Brethren to dwell together in unity." It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the Mount Zion. For the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Let me just tell you, there's something special about God's people. There's something special about the Lord's church being covenanted together. God's people working together in harmony, in unity. And that don't necessarily mean we're always going to agree. There's times me and Harvey butt heads. There's probably times me and Brother Paul is going to disagree, and maybe me and Brother Tim on some things. But that doesn't mean we don't love one another. And that don't mean we're going to continue to work together. But you see, here's what we got to understand is that when God's people understand that they're brothers and sisters in Christ, there's intimacy there. There's something greater than just our wants and desires. It's about the glory of Him. And so we see that, we see all this. This was a very devoted church. I believe it would draw attention to people. You've heard the old saying, the light burns the brightest. What does it do? Not shines, not only does it shine the farthest, but it draws the bugs in. Amen. And listen, I heard a story one time about a church that was very, it was just dead, not much inactive, not a whole lot going on, little church. Some of the members visited a man in the community. They invited him, tried to get him to come to church, He just wouldn't come, never would come. And one day the church caught on fire and was burning. And they tried to put the fire out, couldn't get the fire out. And they looked, and standing in the parking lot, this guy that had never come to church, never even got that close to church. One of the members said, "Well, this is the closest you've ever come to coming to church." He said, "Yeah, I know." He said, "This is the first time I've ever seen the church on fire." Think about that. I want to tell you what, we will draw some things in if we get on fire for God, every one of us. And this church, no doubt, was making an impact, and Paul was spending his time there. Now, we see this devoted church. Once you think about this, there was a dead church member now. The Bible tells us that this young man, Eutychus, and don't want to look too much into this and over-spiritualize, because I don't think that's good hermeneutics, but I think there's some application I might be able to make here. And so if you just give me a little bit of time with that. The Bible says, being fallen to a deep sleep as Paul was long in his preaching. And no doubt Paul, maybe he should have cut it short. I don't know. But he sunk down with sleep and fell down the third loft and was taken up dead. Think about that. Here he fell dead. And he was in a very dangerous position. He was sitting in a place where he was half in and half out. You know the worst place to be in church, you're in danger, is when you're half in and half out. You say the worst place to be is partially sold out to God and partially not really interested in God. The worst place to be is just riding the fence. And Jesus said, "I would that thou were cold or hot, neither lukewarm, because thou sayest you're rich and all, you have all this stuff. Listen to me. You don't understand. I'm going to spew you out of my mouth." You see, there's a lot of people that have this idea that they can serve God in mediocrity. God don't work that way. You're either going to serve God with some passion and some fire in your heart. And so, I don't know. He was inside, but he was outside. But probably what the sad condition was, he was more outside than he was inside. Well, the sad condition, you think about this, because you'll generally fall the way you're leaning, right? If you're leaning this way, you're not going to fall that way. Was he sitting there looking out and wondering, saying, "Whew, look at that down there. Man, this preacher's long. I've been there, you know, looking at your watch." But I can remember when I first started going to church, we didn't have an iPhone to look at and say, "Hey, stroll through Facebook," and nod at the preacher like we're really paying attention, right? And don't act like somebody ain't done it, because you have. And so it just happened that, I don't know where he was looking, but here's a sad condition. He was asleep in church. But I wonder how many of God's people really, they can be spiritual things going around. Somebody could be serving up the greatest dinner from the pulpit ever. The people dying, going to hell all around us. Yet we're asleep in church. What a sad state of affairs. And there's people like that. With everything with going on in this devoted church, you'll still yet, even in devoted churches, you're going to find people that are slumbering and sleeping, and there will always be a tragic fall. And always in a tragic fall, you find that you see that this condition that they were in. Let me just tell you, when someone is leaning more out than they are in, they're going to have no passion, they're going to have no zeal, they're not going to have any joy, they're not going to have anything where they can sell and present God in a fashion that people will say, "That's real. That's something I want to know about." And so what you'll find is that this man was leaning more out than in, turned to tragedy. But there's also, not only you see a dead church member, you see a delighted church. The Bible tells us, verse 10, "And Paul went down and fell on him, and he embraced him," says, "Trouble not yourself, for his life is in him." You see, Paul's reaction was one of concern, was the first thing, concern. You know what we ought to do with these people that are leaning more out than in before they fall or even after they fall? We still yet ought to be concerned. And it's easy just to, there's no use. Might not feel with, I'll be honest with you, there's some people I don't want to fool with anymore. Amen? You know people like that? You've worked with and you've talked to, and they always got some excuse not to be at church. They always got somebody, well, somebody offended me, somebody hurt my feelings, somebody did this. I get sick of it because I'm thinking, won't you just grow up? Right? And there needs to come a point that they get off the milk and get in the meat. Right? But that wasn't Paul's reaction. And he got what he deserved. He should have been paying attention. No, Paul went down in compassion and love. His reaction was that first, always in love and compassion. And he goes and reacts. And what you'll find is there was great reconciliation. Let me just tell you, when people are leaning more out than in, they may fall and it may be tragic, but we still yet ought to react in compassion and love. And Paul reacted in compassion and love. And let me show you, there was sweet fellowship in the reconciliation. You say, where do you see that, Brother Grant? Look, the Bible says that when he was come up again, the Bible says they broke bread and eaten. And they talked a long while. How long did they talk? They talked to the break of day. And so he departed. And they brought the young man alive. And notice, we're not a little comforted. Man, they seen something great and something wonderful. Let me tell you something. We see somebody get reconciled to God that was more out than in, we've seen something wonderful. So that's my challenge to you tonight. Let's remember. Yes, there's times we have to take strong stands. There's times we have to positionally say, "This, I'm drawing the line here." But the purpose is not to beat anybody up. The purpose is always that we might see reconciliation. And so I'm thankful for God's grace, thankful opportunity to be here tonight. Let's go to the Lord's word of prayer, and we'll get right into the business meeting. Our Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. I'm thankful for Brother John and all his work keeping together the minutes and, Lord, his devotion to this and Brother Phil and his hard work and keeping track of everything that's said and done. And thankful, God, for even us, all those that worked on this building that kept track of everything and working diligent. And even though we may face a setback, I'm thankful that you're still yet God, you still yet reign. Nothing took you by surprise. And, God, we trust you. And, Lord, we love you. We pray, God, that you'd be with us, that you'd guide us, and may you be honored and glorified because of the actions of Mount Hebron Baptist Church. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.